Natural Way, everybody. This is the show that exposes the chemical pushers, the environmental thugs, and the certified organophobes. Here to lead you for another hour of common sense gardening, the Doctor of Dirt, Howard Garrett.
Well, there she is back. Thanks, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. It's 866-444-3478 to be on the show with me. Healthy Living Radio with the Dirt Doctor. Talk about gardening and landscaping and pest control and all kinds of things, environmental issues to a degree. Those of you that are snowed in the Northeast, if you have time to call and chat about seeds and planting and what we're going to do later, that's fine. Those of you that are already in the thick of it down here in the South can call, as many people have already been doing this morning. The thing I didn't even mention in the first hour is that we do have, for the new listeners, and I know we've got a lot because of the new station's picking up the show and everything, we send out digitally a newsletter. It's free. All you do is give us your email address. Send us an email to info@dirtdoctor.com. info@dirtdoctor.com, or you can fill out, there's a little form there on the website that you can go that route either way, and we'll send it out. It goes out different days every week. It depends on what we're trying to cover. We try to do really current sorts of things. The last one is about tree trunk goop, which is this homemade mixture that you make with, I was talking a lot the first hour about soft rock phosphate. Soft rock phosphate is one of the ingredients in the tree trunk goop. Soft rock phosphate, compost, and natural diatomaceous earth, add water, make a muddy mess, and slather it on. Damage to woody plant tissue, trunks of trees, limbs of trees, big shrubs, anything that has damage to the bark. This stuff is incredible, how it helps to heal the wound, feed the plant, and solve the problems. We've had at least two, and I've seen one example in the wild of it even saving trees that were totally girdled. It's kind of hard to even figure out how it works in that case, but it does seem to do it if you do it right and do it carefully. This hour is brought to you by the company I may have on their hat. Do I? Yes, I do. Crazy Water, the company of mineral wells that makes, they pull out of the ground this incredibly good mineral water. There's three different levels of it, three or four. I like the four, number four, which is the strongest, has the most mineral content. It has a nice taste to me. It's a little different when you first taste it, but it's my favorite. But whichever one you use, I recommend it highly for making your teas, coffee, drinking straight. It's a natural sports drink, and it's great. CrazyWater.com. You can go in there and check out what's going on. Let's see what else I need to catch up on before we go back to the phones. Just a little personal plug. Most of you that have listened to me know I'm a golfer. And we've got two of our local young lads from the Dallas-Fort Worth area that have made the cut at the Bing Crosby out at Pebble Beach, Kelly Kraft and Jordan Spieth. So congratulations to those guys, and play good today. Win you a big check. Looking forward to watching some of that later on. I think that's the main things I wanted to catch up on. Let's go to Farmers Branch, Texas, and talk to Earl. Hello, Earl.
Actually, Carl, but I have a little
hack. Oh, hi, Carl. Okay.
On the broccoli, I've got one plant that's going to flower, but the other's doing okay. And I was just wondering, anything in particular to do with the leaves of the plant for eating?
Earl, this is the case with a lot of the vegetables that we grow, but the broccoli especially, every part of that plant, I don't know if the roots are so much, but all the rest of the plant's edible, very much so. The flowers, if you have a broccoli plant that the flower head opens up, it bolts, you know, and starts blooming yellow flowers, that's edible. It probably loses some nutrition if you let it break open and get to that point. For example, I think there's research that shows that little seedlings, you know, little sprouts of broccoli. In fact, there's a story about a guy that got in trouble with the government who was growing broccoli sprouts. They are loaded, more concentrated with nutrients and enzymes and beneficial health-giving things than the mature plant is. So the longer you let it go, the more that's going to drop, but that doesn't mean that it's not edible. The stem, the leaf petioles, the leaves themselves, chopping them up and putting them in salad is one way to do it, but you can also mix them with other greens, beet greens, collard greens, turnip greens, those kinds of things, you know, and cook them in the same way you would greens. So, yes, they're very much edible.
Okay, I was just wondering. Also, the I've heard on the your little recording or whatever talking about pollutants inside the home.
Uh-huh.
Main thing I do is air conditioning, and the air conditioning industry has had trouble with what's called formicary corrosion. It's a chemical coming from the tile adhesive and cabinets and all these other chemical-based things we put inside the house, and it actually eats through the copper coils of the evaporator coil to kill your air conditioner.
Hmm.
Oh, that's something that they could watch for is, does this new thing I'm putting in the house is going to fill the house up with stuff that will eat the evaporator coils and potentially them too?
Well, these ionizers that you can put in the house and just keeping things really clean and having fresh air in as much as possible and all that kind of thing will help with that. But that's an interesting point.
Yeah, it's sometimes people don't believe, but, you know, I bought it just a few years ago. What do you mean it's already eating holes in it?
Yeah, a lot of that stuff, a lot of the new stuff that's full of plastics and various kinds of things, the paints in some cases, outgas, some pretty nasty things. It's one of the reasons, Earl, that I recommend strongly, and I probably ought to talk about it more often than I do, to use interior plants, and a lot of them. Some of the easiest to grow interior plants are the most efficient at pulling toxins out of the air, things like dracaenas and various dracaenas, the aglaonema plants, the Diefenbachia, the one that's called money plant that I've grown fond of the last few years. But having as many interior plants as possible in the house will really help with exactly what you're talking about, that air pollution that comes from the stuff that we, you know, have built in the house and bring in the house all the time.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that basically covers everything else I have, so.
Appreciate the call.
Hey, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Talk to you later. And we got wide open lines, so jump on here. It gives you an opportunity to get on board and gives me an opportunity to catch up on a couple of things. There, the number is 866-444-3478, 866-444-3478. While the policymakers in Europe are making moves to restrict bee-harming pesticides, the EPA is poised to approve widespread use of yet another one. Bees need protection from known harms, not exposure to new threats. The European Food Safety Association concluded earlier this month that the neonicotinoids, the pesticides called neonics, I guess that's the new short term for the neonicotinoids, pose an exceptionally high risk to bees, to honeybees and bumblebees too probably, and that the industry-sponsored science upon which claims of safety have relied are fatally flawed. Meanwhile, here in the U.S., the EPA has failed to take swift action to protect the bees, and now instead of curbing the use of these known bee toxins, like Bayer's product, which is called clothiodine, the agency is set to allow a new systemic pesticide, sulfoxaflor, onto the market. Really good. The one of the things we're trying to do with the Texas Organic Research Center is make all this stuff available to you so you can talk to whoever you want to talk to, your congressman or whoever, to try to get some of these things stopped. But not only should we get rid of some of the pesticides that are, if not all of the toxic pesticides that are out there, but stop letting some of these new ones come on the market. This particular one is intended for use on all kinds of crops, including soy, cotton. It impacts the bees the same way these neonics do, by affecting their brain and getting them mixed up, and they get lost. They can't navigate properly. And the end result is that we don't get good pollination. And it's just another one of those things that we need to try to help put an end to. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. The number here is 866-444-3478. I'll be back right after this.
Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist and Drug Muggers. I understand the value of medication, but in the process of helping, they can rob the body of many essential nutrients. I call them drug muggers because they spark side effects that are often diagnosed as a new disease. Every medication, whether over-the-counter or prescription, robs the body of beneficial bacteria. That's why I recommend probiotics for anyone taking medication and for good health in general. Bacterial balance is vital for healthy digestion, improved immunity, and tip-top health. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics nurtures the garden of bacteria that is distinctive to your body. Backed by 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's exclusive formula uses living bacteria combined in a Japanese fermentation process that sets Dr. O'Hara's probiotics apart from all other brands.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of beneficial microbe and enzyme products. BioSI products help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, reduce fertilization needs, and help reduce irrigation needs. BioSI can be used to treat flowers, lawns, shrubs, and trees, as well as herb and vegetable gardens. Water Doctor by BioSI cleans and maintains ponds, lakes, and water gardens. Contact them today at 866-393-4786 or on the web at biositechnology.com.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic approaches in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC wants to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center can use your support. Your contribution is tax deductible. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the bottom of the homepage to find out more about TORC and how you can help. Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
There's a small dog food company up near the Red River in Munster, Texas, and it's the one I recommend. My dogs eat only Munster natural dog food. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you by now. Main thing to my dogs is the taste, but Judy and I notice how it makes them look and feel. The absence of toxic preservatives and the presence of the highest quality ingredients, including prebiotics and L-carnitine, and the presence of some very unusual ingredients that I've been recommending for a long time are all important. Some of the Munster products have no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original ones, so there's something for everyone. Munster natural pet foods are made with grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the USA, not in China. Everything about Munster natural is quality and results in healthy cats and dogs. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website at munstermilling.com about how to get the products in your area for your dogs and cats.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12.
Myth. Animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth. Animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth. Children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth. Children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
Howard, back with you, and line is the telephone number for being with me is 866-444-3478. One quick thing before we go back to the phones about the bees and these neonicotinoids that have been used a lot, and the proof is showing up very, very strongly about how dangerous they are to bees, and then this new Bayer product that's closely kin is going to be, you know, just more of the same. One of our listeners, at least one, because I've talked to him, is in the commercial business of moving the beehives around and dealing on a agricultural large-scale basis. And he was very concerned about it. He called me to ask me if I thought that using a powdered zeolite in the beehives would help to pull some of these toxins that they're seeing more and more evidence of hurting their bees out. And I think that zeolite can be a tool. I told him that my only worry was that zeolite in a real fine texture like that blown in to the hives or used around the bees could possibly have a little bit of a desiccation effect like diatomaceous earth does, and could be a little damaging to the bees too. So we're continuing to look at various kinds of things. Spraying it in a liquid form is another possible way. But the real way to control this issue, to solve the problem, is to eliminate the ability of these products to be sold and used out there, because they're killing the bees, and there's all kinds of proof of it. Okay, more on related things like that later. Right now, Colorado Springs, it's Larry's turn. Hello, Larry.
Hi, Howard. I had a question about aquaponics. You know, we run a nonprofit up here helping get community gardens going, and a lot of our gardeners are talking about aquaponics. But, you know, in my experience in a residential area or a small production, we've never seen aquaponics be as efficient as in-the-ground planting. I mean, we're soil gardeners. But in your experience, have you run into a good aquaponic system for the backyard gardener or the homeowner that is efficient as the planting either inside the soil in the greenhouse or outside in the backyard?
No, Larry, I haven't. We talked about this a little bit last week. A couple of people were interested. Hydroponics, aquaponics, you know, water gardening, however it's done in gravel or in a suspension system or however it's done, can be successful. You can grow proper volumes of material. In fact, some of the most successful producers of volume are great big tomato, you know, hydroponic or hydro garden productions. But,
well, you know, I've seen hydroponics with the chemical based actually produce large plants, and you know, but you know, we're organic, and so I've never seen an organic system.
Well, I haven't seen many. We've talked about it. The way to do it is to do it with the Garrett juice mixture, using it, you know, as the fertilizer. But the problem is, you already know, you've already alluded to it, is that you eliminate the most important piece of the puzzle, in my opinion. You eliminate the soil.
Yeah, I know. And I don't know what to tell folks. They're insistent on giving us a shot, and they're spending literally hundreds and hundreds of dollars to produce small quantities of vegetables
with pumps and
fish tanks and putting the fish waste through their, you know, like a pebble-based medium or something for their tomatoes and lettuces.
Right.
And we really just don't see the volume coming out of that like we do in a soil. Plus, you know, the microorganisms are totally different, if not almost absent in some cases.
Well, that's right. They're totally different microbes in water than in soil. My biggest problem is, and these two things are related, is the taste and the proper trace minerals and complex carbohydrates in the food. And those two things are directly related. I think it's much harder to do to get a balance of that getting in the food when you're growing in water as opposed to soil. One of the things that you might tell them to do, Larry, Malcolm Beck is still doing this to a degree. He set up kind of a combination effect. He's got great big water tanks with tilapia in the water, and then he's got shelves above the fish tanks, and there's soil in these potted plants, and he's raising various kinds of herbs and vegetables and various experiments and things. So when these pots, which have soil in them, are watered, they leach out into the fish. So you've got a combination of soil in the plants and then it going into the water to feed, you know, the tilapia as well.
Okay. And his name again is?
Well, Malcolm Beck. He's down in San Antonio. Okay. He's a friend of mine, and we're co-authors on the Texas Bug Book and all that. But he's been playing with that kind of an idea for a long time. But that system didn't eliminate the soil. You know, it's just got the soil plantings above the water and the fish.
So it's just setting up a little recycling ecosystem and a closed system,
that's right,
so to speak.
That's right.
Yeah, well, I needed another opinion. I just need more ammo here because, you know, my gut tells me that a tomato wasn't meant to be grown in water. You know, it's been doing this for hundreds, millions of years, perhaps, and we're trying to change it, and it just can't. It just seems wrong to me, and I just need more research. So,
well, it's kind of like me trying to get people to get away from the technology of Roundup and 2,4-D and synthetic fertilizers. You know, they think that that's the highest technological. Highest technologically advanced way to go, and why wouldn't we want to use that?
Yeah.
It's the same kind of thinking. People thinking that the higher tech it is, the better. What's interesting, what's really going on now that's the most interesting, is that the most fascinating research and development of new products and all that is on our side with biological microorganisms, with techniques that stimulate biological activity. It's not on the chemistry side. They're just kind of recycling the same old stuff, trying to come up with something that the insects aren't immune to.
Well,
I got to run. If you had something else, I'll put you on hold. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Police are searching for three men who fled the scene of a shooting on Bourbon Street in New Orleans last night. The gunfire wounded four people in a costumed crowd celebrating the countdown to Mardi Gras. One of them is in critical condition. More than 345,000 homes and businesses remain without electricity following the massive snowstorm that swept the Northeast, also killed five people. That's down from 650,000 in the dark at the peak of the storm. Another suicide bomber has blown himself up in northern Mali's largest town, the second such attack in Jao in recent days. An army captain says the attack occurred at a checkpoint. And activists say Syrian troops and opposition forces are battling for control of a key highway outside Damascus today, the heaviest fighting in that region since the first rebel push into the capital last summer. This is SRN News.
Okay, radio listeners and Valentine's Day gift givers, I've got the Valentine's Day deal of the day for you right here. Two words,
Sherry's Berries. These gourmet berries are huge and freshly dipped in rich white and milk chocolatey deliciousness. Then they're covered in decadent toppings like chopped nuts and chocolate chips. Women absolutely love these berries. You gotta trust me. Right now you can get these mouth-watering gourmet berries starting at just $19.99. Yes, you heard me right, $19.99. That's a fantastic deal, and what a great gift. I mean, it's way more romantic and exciting than a boring box of chocolates. I mean, these berries are juicy and gorgeous. So if you're looking for the perfect Valentine's gift, go to berries.com to get this incredible deal on gourmet, freshly dipped strawberries. But you gotta hurry, Valentine's Day is next week, and this deal expires this Friday. The only way to get this amazing deal, gourmet berries, starting at $19.99, is to go to berries.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and enter secret code 74. 474. That's berries.com, secret code 7474.
With Deseret Sports, I'm Patrick Foss. It was a game for the ages in the longest contest in Big East regular season history. Number 25, Notre Dame edged 11th-ranked Louisville 104-101 in five overtimes. The two teams traded great plays and key missed shots down the stretch in the marathon contest. Second-ranked Florida beat Mississippi 83-58. The Gators lead the SEC at 9-1. Wisconsin was an upset overtime winner over third-ranked Michigan, 65-62. Wisconsin forward Jared Berggren, who scored 13 points, says the Badgers are just one game out of the Big Ten lead.
Obviously, there's a lot of basketball left to be played, but I think we've proven that we can beat anyone at any time.
Oklahoma surprised number 5 Kansas, 72-66. Kansas is riding its first three-game losing streak in 8 years. Sixth-ranked Gonzaga down Loyola Marymount, 74-55. It was eighth-ranked Miami, 87. North Carolina, 61. 12th-ranked Michigan State, 78. Purdue, 65. This is Esser in Sports. In the NBA, it was Denver 111, Cleveland 103. That's 9 straight wins for the Nuggets. Cavaliers coach Byron Scott is impressed.
You know, they just beat us to a lot of loose balls, long rebounds, things like that. So I just thought they just played a little bit harder than we did.
Philadelphia beat Charlotte 87-76. It was Detroit 105, Milwaukee 100, Dallas 116, Golden State 91, Sacramento 120, Utah 109. In the NHL, New Jersey moved 1 point ahead of Pittsburgh for the Eastern Conference lead with a 3-1 win over the Penguins. Devils goalie Martin Brodeur says beating a division rival in the first of back-to-back games is huge.
When you get to these games, especially when you are looking to go ahead of teams, you know, if you don't win these games, well, you drop back 4 points almost because you got to beat them one more time and play them one more time, and it makes it hard to. So these games are the most important, you know, when we play them.
Two clubs play again tonight in Pittsburgh. Other NHL winners, Philadelphia, New Jersey, Detroit, Winnipeg, Phoenix, Anaheim, Minnesota, Buffalo, Washington, Toronto, and Vancouver. Tampa Bay at Boston postponed to snow. With Esser in Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
All right, Howard, we've had a couple people drop off, and if you come back, if you haven't gone to church or something, you're not going to come back from tell David when you call, and we'll move you up in the line and try to help you. Bruce in River Oaks is next up. Hey, Bruce. Bruce, need to be listening to the phone, not the radio. You there? Tell him to what to listen to. Here's John in Mansfield next up. Hey, John.
Hey, Howard.
What's up?
I was just wondering, why is ryegrass not very prevalent in North Texas the way it is up east?
Interesting question. Well, here it's used as an overseed temporary grass, and up in cooler climates, ryegrass, fescue, bluegrass, you know, all those cool season grasses are the year-round grass. So that's probably part of it. Down here, we have the summer grasses. We have Bermuda and St. Augustine and zoysia and buffalo and things like that. And if you use rye down here, you overseed those turf grasses with these cool season grasses, and you just have it through the winter, and then you try to transition over in the spring. If you tried to grow ryegrass here as the year-round grass, it would fry and completely die in the summer.
Oh, okay. Because I was noticing around this time of year, the lawns that do have ryegrass are nice and green, and they look the way I'd like my lawn to look. But I haven't really been here over the summer taking care of a lawn yet.
Yeah, our 105 degrees and high humidity, it'll take ryegrass out in a hurry. Now, one of the cool season grasses that is used here is tall fescue. And fescue is used as a kind of a so-so alternative. The golf course guys, the superintendents will use it sometimes, for example, over in the rough areas where there's trees and it's too shady for the Bermuda grasses and tifs and things like that to grow. But it's a replanted every kind of every fall type of thing, even though some of it will stay alive. It doesn't stay healthy and really pretty and all through the summer. It gets damaged too. So even fescue needs to be replanted each year in the fall. Now, if you live in the cooler parts of Texas or the cooler parts, higher elevation or wherever you are in the country, out in West Texas, for example, the fescues can be grown year-round there. So it's just it's a temperature and humidity issue. High humidity, high temperatures, it'll knock it out.
Considering overseeding with the rye, and I wasn't sure.
Well, if you do it, you need to do it next September, about
right.
September the 15th.
Yeah, I'll be putting down my corn gluten this weekend.
Okay.
For the pre-emergent, and I'm getting these big clumps of leafy weeds now that the pre-emergent isn't going to help me with. I understand that.
Not only won't help you, it'll help them grow bigger and stronger. Yeah, those things that you see now that are green, those germinated back in the fall, early winter. So you've got, for corn gluten meal to work or any pre-emergent to work, it has to go out before the seed germinate. And since we've had such a mild winter again here, a lot of your summer, not a lot of them, but some of the winter weeds may have already germinated. So if you're going to use it, get it out right away.
How about preventing them from coming back next year?
It'll help. Anytime you use corn gluten meal and you keep using it over a period of time, it seems to have a cumulative effect, but you can get kind of the same kind of effect from dry molasses or any of the organic fertilizers. Just using humate on a regular basis, a dry humate has the same effect. When you're putting out something that provides humic materials and humic acids and builds that carbon in the soil, you're going to have a net effect of healthier turf. You'll still have a mixture of things, but you'll have a little bit higher quality weeds, if you see what I mean.
So I guess now I just have to dig them out by hand at this point.
Or you can spot spray them with the vinegar formula that we have on the website under guides. All the formulas that I recommend are on dirtdoctor.com under the word guides. And the vinegar formula is there. There are some commercial vinegar products. There's a commercial delimonene or orange oil product called Avenger that works real well. There's some fatty acid products that can be spot sprayed. And they work pretty well. Sometimes you have to spray them more than one time to knock them out. But if you want to get away from that green spotty effect, you can spot spray them right now with those organic herbicides.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, appreciate the call. Let's go to Dennis in Fort Worth next. Hey, Dennis.
Hello.
Hey.
You mentioned a guy in San Antonio, one of your associates or whatever, that he has tilapia in some kind of water tanks or whatever.
Yes.
I've got a pond that I wanted to buy some to put in to get rid of the algae because they kind of do that. But I can't find anybody that'll sell me any. Where did he get his fish?
Well, there's two different kinds of tilapia. One is legal to buy, and the other one you have to have special permits and all that kind of stuff. What I'd recommend that you do, Dennis, is call the Texas Fish and Wildlife Department, down in Austin, and they can tell you what you need to find are certified hatcheries that grow this stuff, fisheries. And they'll tell you the difference in the kind of tilapia that you can grow. In both cases, one thing you need to know is that they won't live through the winter. It's a seasonal crop. It's a tropical fish as far as – I had some, for example, with my goldfish and koi a couple of years ago, and they're cool to have around, and you can grow them to a pound and a half, more or less, in one season, which makes some pretty good eating. And if you don't harvest them in the fall when they start moving real slowly, you know, the herons and the raccoons and all the predators come in and get them, or they die. So it's a situation where you have to put new ones in every year, unless you somehow have a heated water.
No, I don't have that. Yeah. Well, is there some other fish I could get that would keep the algae down in the pond?
Well, tilapia help with it a lot, but just regular goldfish and koi help with it as well. And they're a whole lot tougher and less expensive and easier to get, and they're permanent, you know. So that'd be one way to go. You can get a permit to get the white aimers, which are carp. The triploids, the ones that are sterile, are legal to use, but you still have to go through a lot of red tape to be able to buy them and get them. And they'll help with algae and water plants of various kinds and all that. But the goldfish and koi work about as well as anything, and they're easy to get down at the pet store.
Okay, well, I'll just do that.
Okay.
Thanks much.
Appreciate your call. Let's go back. Was it Bruce that we need to go back to? Yep. Yeah, Bruce. River Oaks. Hey, Bruce.
How are you doing?
Doing good.
I live just above the Trinity. We pay a nature tax with armadillos every year, and I've been nuking my yard inappropriately. This year I'm going to drink your Kool-Aid.
Okay, good.
I dethatched it Friday. I mowed up all the clippings. I put down the corn glute. To me, it seems like the next step is to aerate at the right time, put down nematodes, come back with the molasses, and hope the armadillos find someplace else to dig. What are your thoughts?
Well, my first thought is that I can help you save a lot of time and energy and money.
Yes.
Because you don't need to do some of the things you've been doing. We don't have thatch in organic programs. That's one of the great benefits. You just mow and leave the clippings on the ground, and you use biological tools like the BioSI products, and you use organic fertilizers, and you spray Garrett juice, and the microbes in the soil will take care of the thatch for you. So you've done your dethatching for the last time you ever need to do it.
That's what Dave said.
Yeah, so and then the next point is a mechanical aeration. Doing it on the front end like you've done is fine, but now that you're going to be into using organic fertilizers and amendments and things like that, you will not have to do that ever again unless you start parking your car in your front yard, or you store equipment, or you do something to compact the soil. You see what I mean?
Right.
That's the only time you need to aerate again. As far as putting down beneficial nematodes, they will help you to a degree because they'll take care of some of the pest-type insects in the yard. But I got bad news for you about armadillos. Sometimes armadillos will come in and come after beneficial things like earthworms and beneficial insects and things like that. So they won't necessarily eliminate 100% of your problem. There is a product called, it's in the Scram family. It's called Armadillo Scram, and it's a commercial product. If the stores there don't have it, you can order mail order, but some of the stores around you might have it in stock, and if they don't, they can probably get it in. It's a repellent. It's an organic repellent that works very well. They have the Scram products for various animals, and they've got one that works pretty well for armadillos.
I have not aerated yet. Should I just skip that and go straight to the organic fertilizers?
Well, it certainly speeds up the process, Bruce, if you do aerate, because it allows you to get your organic fertilizers and amendments down into the soil profile. So, yeah, if you've already planned on doing it, go ahead. It's just that you probably don't ever need to do it again.
Well, one time I want to do it absolutely right and get the program going. Well, one last question, top dressing.
Mm-hmm.
What are your recommended blends between compost, sand, dirt, et cetera, if I need to start leveling out some areas?
Well, personally, I don't do anything except lava sand and compost. I don't think you need to do a big fancy blend. If you do those things and use organic fertilizers and spray Garrett Juice Plus, it's the one that has the liquid fish in it. I think you've done more than enough, and you're going to be really amazed how well everything produces.
Great. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you. Bye.
And by the way, he brought up beneficial nematodes. It is that time of year. I should have mentioned this earlier in the show, too, to put out beneficial nematodes. And that goes for every one of you that's listening to me out there in the country, unless you're under snow still in the Northeast. But if you are thawed out and if things are starting to grow, buds are starting to swell and all that, it's time to put out beneficial nematodes to control fleas and grubs and all kinds of pests, fire ants for those of you in the south, and also trichogramma wasps need to be lined up, and they'll be released as soon as the buds break and flowers and leaves start to grow for all gardeners. I'm Howard Garrett. I'll be back right after this. There's a small dog food company up near the Red River in Munster, Texas, and it's the one I recommend. My dogs eat only Munster natural dog food. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you by now. Main thing to my dogs is the taste, but Judy and I notice how it makes them look and feel. The absence of toxic preservatives and the presence of the highest quality ingredients, including prebiotics and L-carnitine, and the presence of some very unusual ingredients that I've been recommending for a long time are all important. Some of the Munster products have no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original ones, so there's something for everyone. Munster natural pet foods are made with grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the USA, not in China. Everything about Munster natural is quality and results in healthy cats and dogs. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website at munstermilling.com about how to get the products in your area for your dogs and cats.
Believe it or not, weight management is more than simply calories in versus calories out. To achieve your ideal weight, your digestive system must function effectively. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author of The Hamptons Diet and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Research has found that there are regulating factors that control absorption of calories and whether they are stored as fat. One of the most significant influences in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of beneficial bacteria in our GI tracts. These friendly bacteria help in regulating blood sugar and normalizing our appetite. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics every day due to its carefully selected strains of live beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health, increase energy through better absorption of nutrients, and help with weight management. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available today. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Black cow. Manure, black cow.
If you want the best looking grass in the neighborhood, top dress your lawn now with up to a half inch of Black Cow composted cow manure. This gives the dark, rich organic matter in Black Cow time to work its magic on your yard before summer arrives. Millions of beneficial bacteria begin to work, improving your soil. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Laying new sod this year? Spread a layer of Black Cow evenly over the entire area, then lay your sod. Have bare spots? Enrich the soil in those areas by working Black Cow into the native soil. You'll be surprised how quickly bare spots will fill in. in. For the best-looking grass this summer, apply Black Cow now. Look for the bright yellow and black bag at your garden center and visit us on the web at blackcow.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure. Black Cow.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. Let's go to San Angelo and talk to Sandra. Hello, Sandra.
Hello.
How are you?
Just fine. I have a lot of bees in the summertime, and, of course, I like them because, you know, I have a garden and I also have a pool. But by the end of the summer, I have a lot of bees. My grandkids can't come swimming because they're allergic to them, and I don't want to kill them. So how do I, you know, what do I do with them? I mean, they just get on the pool ladder, and if they make a nest, there's 100 to 300 at times in the evening.
Is it all
and
honey?
I know there's a, I'm sorry?
Is it all honeybees, or is it various kinds of bees?
No, I believe it's honeybees.
Okay. Well, one of the things, you know, a lot of people are jealous that you have all those bees because, it, like you said, it's a benefit from your gardening standpoint. One thing that you could try, Sandra, that people have reported to me works pretty well, orange oil or D-limonene or orange oil, and you can make your own by putting 2 ounces of a concentrate in a gallon of water, or you can buy one of the ready-to-use products. You don't want to spray and hit the bees with it. It'll kill them. But if you spray it around the area, and if you use it to clean, you know, the handles.
Pool ladder.
Yeah, the ladders, the things that are around the pool. It's a great cleaner anyway, and it'll smell good for the for the people. But it may have a pretty good repellent effect on the bees.
Okay. Yeah, because I didn't want to kill them, and my son and them get out here, and they get angry, and I keep telling them, don't kill them, you know, because, you know, I read up on them all the time, and they're dying off, you know,
it's
a lot.
Big problem, mm-hmm. That's right. Try to get them to, you know, just not be afraid of them and everything. If they get caught in their clothing, they get accidentally stung. If they're really allergic, you know, you have to have the proper, you know, medicine around and all that, of course. I'm sure
right.
You do.
Yes,
but
I do.
Try the orange oil and let me know how it works for you, okay?
Okay. One more thing. I have grubs. I've had grubs since I've moved here, and they're affecting my garden and my plants. But I also have a lot of worms. a lot of worms, and I don't know what to use that won't kill the worms too.
Well, beneficial nematodes will kill the grubs and won't hurt the worms at all. But one of the things you need to know is that a lot of the grub worms that you run into are not harmful at all. They're not eating plant roots. They're eating dead and decaying organic matter, and they're basically beneficial by tunneling and aerating the soil and all that. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that they're actually eating the roots of plants and hurting plants?
No.
Okay.
No, but I had just read not too long ago that they were good, and I always thought they were bad.
No, 10% of them are bad. 90% of them are beneficial. So you need to put out beneficial nematodes anyway, like I was saying earlier, because they help to control all sorts of other pests, including termites. And I recommend strongly that everybody puts them out. So if you do have some harmful grub worms, that'll help you with that. And the rest of them, don't worry about them.
You know, here in Texas, too, I've tried to grow here tomato plants. And for some reason, I just can't grow them here at this house. And in the front, I have a tree that gets the, what's the little white fuzzy bug?
Well, mealy bugs or something like that?
Yeah. And so if I plant them on the side of the house, I end up with them. And if I plant them in the back of the house, there's a princess. I think it used to be called a princess tree. It has mm-hmm. the purple flowers.
Right.
And anything under it, or when it's flowering and it gets into the garden, it kills everything.
Well, your problem is you're trying to grow tomatoes in the shade, sounds like, Sandra. You got to have them in full sun. And mealybugs won't go from a tree over to your tomato plant. That's not how it works. They just get attacked. The tomatoes get attacked if they're in stress. And one of the things that'll stress them in a hurry is shade. They need to be in full sun. So move them out, and you'll see that you'll have a lot better success there. Buddy in Holly Lake Ranch, not in the lake, but near that lake.
I wish I was in the lake this morning. It doesn't look like it's be nice weather. How are you this morning?
Doing good. What's up? sounds like you got a problem there.
I have leaf cutter ants, and I'm in an area in Holly Lake Ranch where there's power line right of ways, and they don't control them at all in there at all. I mean, they used to be so bad that Holly Lake Ranch maintenance came around and they had they were in the roads. I mean, they were out underneath the oil top and the roads that around in the ranch there. And so they would take a 3 foot long rod or a hollow tube and pump chemicals down in the ground and try to keep them from destroying the roads because they hollow out underneath the roads and everything. Well, whatever. My problem is I'm back on a cul-de-sac way back. I mean, I'm in the deep woods back there. We've had quite a few big trees, big pines died from this drought that we had. And but my main problem is I'm trying to get something to grow that those leaf cutter ants won't just kill.
Well, I don't know very many plants that are in that category. Maybe Agarita is one
Chinese. We have a Chinese petunia, and they have gone and eaten all the buds off. I was wondering if there's anything I could put down to control them, keep them off.
Well, it's one of the insects that's really tough to control. And natural diatomaceous earth spread out a lot when it's dry works as well as anything, and then flooding the mounds with sulfur works. I'll talk more off the air. Howard Garrett, I'll be back after this.